Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. It is a great joy to gather here on this day that God has given us and worship together. We have two special women in our church who we often do not get to see because they are downstairs caring for the children among us. So I would invite Brenda and Maddie to come forward. We just have a small token of appreciation for all of your dedication and your time and your love for all of those here with us. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Let us leave behind the cares of this morning. And as we listen to Linda's music, let the Spirit of God fill our hearts this morning. In body or in spirit for our call to worship. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul for you, O God.
My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God?
Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me?
Hope in God, who again I shall praise. My help and my God.
By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night God's song is within me, a prayer to the God of my life.
Holy God, who again I shall praise.
My help and my God. Shall we sing together?
Oh,
May we pray together. Holy God, we are grateful for the wonderful healing that you bring through Christ your Son. He teaches us to view ourselves and others with hope, knowing that you are able to restore even those who seem lost. Empower us by your Spirit to tell others how much you have done for us, so that they too will discover your grace. We pray in the name of the risen Christ. Amen.
Good morning. I'm reading from Isaiah 53. Has anyone believed us or seen the mighty power of the Lord in action? Like a young plant or a root that sprouts in dry ground, the servant grew up obeying the Lord. He wasn't some handsome king. Nothing about the way he looked made him attractive to us. He was hated and rejected. His life was filled with sorrow and terrible suffering. No one wanted to look at him. We despised him and said, he is a nobody. He suffered and endured great pain for us, but we thought his suffering was punishment from God. He was wounded and crushed because of our sins. By taking our punishment, he made us completely well. All of us were like sheep that had wandered off. We had gone our own way, but the Lord gave him the punishment we deserved. He was painfully abused, but he did not complain. He was silent like a lamb being led to the butcher, as quiet as a sheep having its wool cut off. He was condemned to death without a fair trial. Who could have imagined what would happen to him? His life was taken away because of the sinful things my people had done. He wasn't dishonest or violent, but he was buried in a tomb of cruel and rich people. The Lord decided his servant would suffer as a sacrifice to take away the sin and guilt of others. Now the servant will live to see his own descendants. He did everything the Lord had planned. By suffering, the servant will learn the true meaning of obeying the Lord. Although he is innocent, he will take the punishment for sins of others so that many of them will no longer be guilty. The Lord will reward him with honor and power for sacrificing his life. Others thought he was a sinner, but he suffered for our sins and asked God to forgive us.
Let's be in prayer. God of grace, God of love, God of life, God of victory over death, you are the one we look to for hope when all of our world seems hopeless. We come to you this morning as we see beauty in our world. We hear birds sing, we see rain fall from the skies to nourish our parched earth. Our world is parched, O God, parched for hope, parched for justice, parched for peace. Send your Spirit down upon us. You who saw life, you who experienced death, you who were the first to rise again, bring your power to us and inspire us to be your church, to go to places and to people who need your hope, to be your peace and your love. We come to you this morning with many concerns on our hearts. We know that you know all of our needs long before we can even speak them aloud. So go to each person, go to each situation, bring safety, bring comfort, bring healing. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Surround us with your grace, O God, as we do our best to share your love with those around us. We pray all of this in the name of Christ, our Lord, our friend, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you to Bruce Amy, who will be sharing his gift of music and lifting our spirits and helping us worship God this morning.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and is sitteth at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Shall we pray together? Spirit of God, come to us. We open ourselves to your presence, waiting for your refreshment so we can refresh our world. Amen. Bruce just gave us a great introduction to the sermon, and we brought ourselves back to the Nicene Creed. For we've had a detour for the past few weeks, and now we return. And in order that we're all on the same page, let's revisit some of our previous stops. It's almost as if we are sightseeing. We're able to glimpse places that we visit, but we'll never know the entirety of communities unless we move there and live there for quite a while. The creeds are like this. We hit the important points of the Christian faith, but until we live our relationship with Christ, we will never fully know, even as we have been fully known. And of course, as the scriptures say, there's really the one time when we will really fully know, and that is when we are able to see God face to face. So first, as Bruce reminded us, we began with God, our creator. God created everything, and we are created beings. We are not God. We believe God is almighty, all-powerful, somehow all-knowing, even though we have free will. God is bigger than we can ever imagine. When we think we know everything about God, then we have tried to put God in a box. And God is much greater than that. We next read that Jesus Christ is our Lord. We believe that Jesus has authority over us, and we do our best to pattern our lives after the life of Jesus. So we want to do what Jesus did, how he cared for the poor. Poor in spirit, poor in health, poor in money, poor in friendship, poor in social status. Are we modeling our lives after Jesus' life? Next, we claimed that Jesus is fully God. So when we read stories about Jesus, we are actually seeing God. God in the flesh. Finally, we saw that Jesus was fully human. Jesus ate and drank just like us. To be human is to claim our emotions and respond in a Christ-like manner. To be human is to rest and pray. This morning, the Creed states that we believe that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. The third day he rose from the dead. Jesus was crucified and buried. God in human flesh died. This is an important statement, and historically it was an especially important statement. For the early Christians were worried, for there's a verse in Deuteronomy that says that anyone who hangs on a tree is cursed. And here is Jesus hanging on a tree. So there were also people in Jesus' day who believed that the spirit was good and the body was bad. And so when you put these two ideas together, how can Jesus die? So some people believed that Jesus was not really human and then Jesus could really never experience death. The Creed reminds us that Christ experienced death as fully as we will. We believe that God in Jesus Christ died. God did not come out of his human body in Jesus. Even in Jesus' humanness, when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? God experienced suffering, abandonment, and death. All that we ever will experience, God has been there. Each Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Silent Saturday even, and then on Easter Sunday, I ponder the deaths that Jesus was willing to go for us. Jesus was willing to give up everything for us and for our salvation. Because this creed states it, the early church, and so can we, believe that Jesus was willing to experience everything for us. There is nowhere that God will not go, nothing that God will not do for us. No matter what we are experiencing, we believe that Jesus experienced it all. And not only that, Jesus chose to experience it all, to go to those hard places and experience life. In these difficult times in our world, it would be easy for us to just turn off the television, close the newspaper, turn off the radio and all of our apps and say, well, that's the city of Rochester having problems, or that's everywhere else in the world that's having problems. God calls us to enter into those rough places in all of our lives and to confront the difficulties that we experience as a country. How do we grapple with race? How do we grapple with violence against police officers? How do we grapple when people of one race seem to die at the hands of people of another race? God chose to be in that situation, and I believe God invites us to go to those situations. Yes, we might feel like we can't make much of a difference at all, but there must be something that we can respond to and say, our world is not right. What are we as Christians going to do? We can speak up even when we feel like we are powerless. No matter what, Jesus experienced it all. We as a society also have a fear of death. We do not talk about it often. We try to push it off as long as possible. And life is good. We want to live, absolutely. Yet, we're human. We will die. Unless Jesus comes again before we die, we will go to eternal life. Jesus showed us on the cross an absolute trust in God, even if it meant giving up his life on the cross. Into your hands, O God, he said, I commit my spirit. Because Jesus was able to trust in the power of God so fully with his entire being, so too may we. There is nowhere that we are going to go in this life and in our deaths that God has not been. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. If God is with us in our most vulnerable state, and we are to be the body of Christ in the world, how will we respond to God's love this week? Where are we too afraid to go? Or who are we too afraid to be with? For God is already there and with them. Death in God's world brings resurrection. There is always hope. Even in the most hopeless of situations, even if our hope is fulfilled in the life to come, hope, good news, life always wins. So resurrection can infuse our daily life. This week showed us that the injustice in our world is just overwhelming, and it can seem like there is just too much work to be done to make a change. Yet we must never give up, never stop building God's vision of reality in this world, where all have food to eat, a safe place to live, welcome at the table, where we all do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. The prophet Micah in the Bible was condemning the people of Israel. For some of them were living their faith in word only, but not in action. We can speak all we want, but the actions tell the truth of our lives. God needs us to be the body of Christ in the world, to work tirelessly to bring our world back to God's vision of reality. We might not be able to end disease in our world or find a way to end discrimination and violence, but we can do something. So what are you willing to risk? Knowing that no matter what, all will be well. Even if we fail miserably, all will be well, for God wins. There is nowhere that God is not. There is nothing that we can experience in life or in death that God is not. May we place our trust in Jesus Christ and boldly follow where Christ leads us. Amen. Never alone. Go now in peace. Amen.
This has been Jesus Crucified and Risen with Pastor Kim Farrell on July 10th, 2016. What do those words mean to you? Kim offers a July perspective on an April event. What did the crucifixion and resurrection mean within the big picture of our faith? God invites us to also make a difference. How do we respond?
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.